And boom goes the dynamite. And boom goes the dynamite.
And welcome to episode 32 of Boom Goes the Dynamite, the AEW Dynamite review show here on the Pro Wrestling Only Podcast Network. I'm Jeffrey. With me tonight, special guest, a fellow Chicago area Graps fan. He hosts the Burn After Noticing podcast. Please welcome Paul Sebastian, a.k.a. Thick Flair. Paul, how you doing, man?
What's going on? I feel great. Having a wonderful evening. Thank you so much for inviting me on. I really appreciate it. Glad to be here. Glad to talk AEW.
Yeah, well, I unfortunately, neither of my usual co-hosts could make it tonight, and I hate doing solo podcasts, so yeah.
I totally understand.
I like to talk with people, not at people, so despite what some people might think, but anyway. So our usual first thing that we do is, did you watch Dark?
I sure did, yes.
You did? Wow, that's like the first time in ages that somebody's actually said yes, they watched Dark.
I think, you know, if you would have caught me most other weeks, I probably would have said no. This is one that I caught specifically because it was advertised as a match-heavy AEW Dark. So I think they advertised like between 7 and 9 matches, something like that.
Yeah,
I think
it was something like twice the amount of matches in your average Dynamite, it seemed like.
Yeah, it was a stack. And what was great about it is it was still only an hour, and the pace of it was fantastic. It was just furious. They were just banging out matches back to back to back.
Yeah, I saw
more wrestling cards.
Yeah, I saw some GIFs of Rey Fénix, and it's like, oh my God.
Yeah, it's, you know, whenever Fénix or like the Lucha Brothers kind of go away for a while, even if it's like a number of weeks, they will always come back and remind you why we should be talking about them being among the best on the planet. And maybe we don't enough. Maybe Fénix is underrated at this point, dare I say.
I regularly say that Pentagon is one of my top three wrestlers in the entire world. So, yeah,
that's a very correct take. I couldn't agree more. Absolutely. Like, if you're talking about, you know, the Kenny Omegas, Seth Rollins's, AJ Styles's of the world, you better have Pentagon in that conversation.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, like I said, he's one of my top three. The other three that you mentioned don't even crack my top 10, quite frankly. But
yeah, I mean, those are the ones that I think popularly, if you're going to have those conversations, like with among like Pentagon's contemporaries, I guess those are probably the names you're going to hear in most conversations.
Right. Well, yeah, I mean, and that's reasonable, because that's who, you know, among most American wrestling fans, yeah, those are the names that would be recognized. So,
I mean, if you're asking me, my top three is still Bret Hart, and Bret Hart. That's the best there ever will be. So, and is, he said it himself, so still currently holds up.
Well, if we're going to talk all times, well, we can be here for a while.
Bret set himself up with the best nickname, because he can always say he's the best in the world. It's right at the top. He's the best there is.
So would you recommend going to watch Dynamite? Because I did not, but would you recommend maybe checking it out if we have some idle time in between? Until the next Dark. I mean, I said Dynamite. I meant Dark.
Yeah, this specific episode of Dark, I'd say yes, because it was all wrestling. There was no filler. There wasn't any like studio segments at all. It was just straight up wrestling match after wrestling match. And it featured some people you haven't seen before that I got a feeling will be featured in AEW more in the future. So you can kind of get your eye on some talent you haven't seen. Just some names you haven't seen wrestle in a while. To your point, Fénix, Orange Cassidy, stuff like that. So yeah, it's worth taking about an hour out, or just maybe fast forwarding through the matches you're interested in.
All right, you know, maybe if I get some time coming up, I will do that. But with that, we go live to Daly's Place in Jacksonville, Florida, once again for episode 32 of AEW
Socially
Dynamite.
Distanced Daly's Place. Very well cleaned and sanitized. Everyone's got their yellow wristbands on.
Yep, and I saw that. Yeah, they kind of spread people out in the crowd this time too. Like, there were some people in the actual seats, not just at ringside.
Yeah, I did see that. They had like one little section of like folks that were kind of
spaced out. But, you know, at the same time, you know what? Well, at the same time, you know, when also today, New Japan Pro Wrestling, and yes, we bring up New Japan a lot on this show because this is really kind of a spinoff of the Strong Style Story podcast. because, you know, we're the regular hosts, of course, are also do that show. But, you know, since, you know, there's quite a bit of a tie between AEW and New Japan Pro Wrestling, whether or not half of AEW wants to admit that. But
absolutely. Yeah.
But when you consider that today, that statement that New Japan president and CEO Harold May released explaining why they are not doing empty arena shows, even, you know, in light of, you know, a lot of Japanese companies were doing empty arena shows, and of course WWE and AEW as well. And it's like finally somebody mentioned, you know, the safety of the staff and the regular workers, not just the wrestlers.
Well, I think New Japan has been leading by example throughout this entire crisis. You know, they're not making huge splash or anything, but they're very quietly doing things correctly, and I think they should definitely be recognized for it.
Well, just once again, remind, New Japan Pro Wrestling has not run a show since February the 26th in Okinawa, so...
The right thing to do, and again, commend them for it.
Mind you, Stardom actually kind of led the way on that, though, because they were the first company to... cancel shows. They're also a Bushiroad company now.
Yes. So I mean, I know there was a lot of early criticism, and again, I haven't been following like super closely about like the business side of the Bushiroad acquisition and like who they are as a company. But so far, it seems kind of good, right? Am I right about this? Like, it seems everything seems to be going pretty well.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they had their highest ever Korakuen draw in the Bushiroad era just before this, but anyway, we're kind of sidetracking, but anyway, yeah. Back to Daly's Place in Jacksonville, Florida for episode 32 of AEW Dynamite. Your hosts, Jim Ross, Tony Schiavone, and Excalibur, and we start right off with a promo from Lance Archer and Jake Roberts, and oh my god, what the hell was Jake Roberts saying?
So this part you'll have to catch me up on, because I didn't get tuned in until about 5 or 6 minutes in, so I just missed this promo. One part I missed.
He was rambling.
Oh boy.
And saying how Brandi Rhodes is something about either Brandi Rhodes or women in general, feeding him and wiping his ass, and I'm like,
all right.
This is not the first weird comment we're gonna get about women on this show either.
Yeah, and they do, like, I mean, if last week was any indication, they're gonna lean into this like Jake Roberts is a despicable guy kind of thing, right? So we'll see how far they want to push that envelope, I guess.
Well, I still think that whole thing with the snake last week was really questionable, especially with, you know, Jake appearing to grind his hips on
Brady. Yeah, it definitely was a jarring visual. You know, I try to remember, like, he is a heel, and this is all, like, obviously from the mind. Like, I'm pretty sure Brandi Rhodes isn't going to be pressured into doing things she doesn't want to do on her show. So I got to think, like, Brandi was like, oh, this is cool.
Yeah, it didn't look very cool.
It was... a little jarring. Yeah. When the snake came out, I was like, okay. And then it kind of kept going, and you're like, should I be okay?
I didn't think it was good at all. But in the midst of this rambly promo, I mean, some of Jake's promos have been really good, but some of them he's just like kind of rambling, and this was one of those. Until we hear this, the sound of an engine revving, and we get the Cody Mobile.
the Call of Duty edition F-150.
Yeah, with Cody's bad tattoo, neck tattoo on the hood.
I have a 16-year-old brother who lives in Mississippi who would probably kill someone for that truck.
I don't doubt it, but it's here in Jacksonville, and with that we get Executive Vice President Cody Rhodes fist taped, and Cody and Archer go to town on each other.
All right. So we get a little contact with them going into Double or Nothing. How did it look? Was it good?
It was all right. It was just, you know, at one point, Cody tries to choke Archer with his colored braids.
Okay, all right.
The fight wasn't bad. The promo leading up to it was shit.
Yes, you know, what's going to happen when you get a guy like Jake, where you know he's got the magic in him, but he's just not going to give you that kind of consistency, you know, given everything he's been through, and that the fact his brain works kind of at all is a miracle. So we're, you know, I think every positive Jake the Snake promo we get's a blessing at this point.
So at following that little to-do to open up the show, we get a video promo, just basically the state of the tag team division. At some point they may have to strip Kenny Omega and Adam Page of the belts. I mean, maybe. I don't know.
I do think it's interesting how they're kind of filling Matt Hardy in on that spot and giving themselves some wiggle room for storyline there. You know, because you already have that kind of Adam Page having a rift with the Elite. Now he's got that tenuous alliance with Kenny over the championship. But let's say Kenny and Matt fire off a few wins. Chemistry's looking good.
Yeah.
Adam Page is back. And now, you know, you kind of have that added layer of drama.
I'm just wondering if they're going to Freebird rule this at some point.
Which would be very interesting. That's something I hadn't even thought of.
And that could be something that pisses, you know, Adam Page off. But you know what? I fear, though, that the way that the wacky world face heel booking in this company after, you know, the audacious babyface greeting that Adam Page got in Chicago at Revolution, or even, you know, Chicago. I mean, I'm assuming you were there.
Revolution is the one AEW Chicago event I have not attended.
Oh, okay. That's see, I did. So I was there because I was also at the con too. So, but
right on.
But yeah, I mean, the crowd were fucking turned on the Bucks.
Oh, it was
amazing.
I don't see how you can turn Adam Page heel by the end of the storyline. I think it's been very clear that that's who the crowd's behind. And like, I think the story's kind of written itself, right?
Well, right. Well, I mean, we all know now it was the Bucks and their bullshit that drove Adam Page drinking. So, you know,
there you go. Yeah. So, I mean, it's just too, and like now that Kenny's like having success without Page, it's just one of those deals where it's just so natural to have Adam Page come back and kind of go, oh man, you guys forgot about me. And then all the crowd get behind him, you know, your underdog and everybody being like, screw you, Kenny, we're better than you, or screw you, Adam, we're better than you now.
Yeah.
And
well,
just,
I mean,
it's just a natural wrestling storyline.
Yeah. By all rights, the Elite should be the biggest heels in the company, but by all rights, true. But
I think the biggest thing that's holding them back from that is the desire to not want to like be the authority figure heels, right? You don't want to like have that authority parallel in any way. And I think they're probably actively avoiding that at this point.
You know, I think you're right. To their credit, they haven't done that. But anyway, we're really sidetracking, and we're here at our first match of the evening, a tag team match, as it happens. Best friends, Chuck Taylor, Trent Barretta, with Orange Cassidy versus Jurassic Express, Jungle Boy, Luchasaurus, with Marco Stunt. What'd you think of this?
You know, so I did tell you before we spoke, I had my dual monitor set up as I was watching AEW Dynamite, and I'll be honest with the listeners, I was also playing Grand Theft Auto while watching AEW Dynamite. So I may or may not have gotten all of the details of every match, but this I will say, every time they do the hug it out shot and the camera zoom out, it will always get
the you got to give the people what you want, what they want.
Yep.
Yeah, that's not bad. I like the comment that Excalibur made before that when I think it was Trent Barretta went for a tope suicida on Luchasaurus, and Luchasaurus caught him, and Excalibur dropped the phrase tope interruptus. It's like, oh
wow.
Shit.
Wow. Giving it the Latin name, spectacular. Excalibur was on. There's a comment from a later match I'll bring up, but yeah, Excalibur was very on his game tonight. That's one thing I definitely noticed. He shined.
Yeah, well, good thing he was on and Tony was on. Yeah, Jim Ross. we'll get to him.
There's one JR comment that I noticed that really made it. It wasn't intentional, but was noticeable.
Well, I don't know. Well, we'll talk about that. overall, I thought this was a fun match, though. I thought both teams looked really good going into it, and of course, we had a double fuck finish with you know, Rey Fénix attacking Orange Cassidy, but then you know, MJF attacking Jungle Boy.
Yes,
you know, some cool heat for their match coming up at Double or Nothing. So best friends win with the Awful Waffle. We're probably going to get them as the tag team challengers to whomever will be defending the tag team titles. If Adam Page decides to show back up, or if Matt Hardy somehow holds a title with this in a Freebird rule. But, you know, with something that they're going to announce later, I don't know. There may not be a tag team title match at Double or Nothing. But anyway, So yeah, so you know, afterwards, Marco Stunt and Wardlow get into it, and and then Luchasaurus comes over. We eventually have to get Luchasaurus and Wardlow. I mean, we got too many big beefy bastards in this company now to not, you know, start having a big beefy bastard.
the official big meaty men slapping meat match.
Oh yeah, hell yeah.
Absolutely.
Let's get this super heavyweight titles, you know.
Oh, I'm so into a super heavyweight division. Yes, absolutely. Sign me up all day long.
Let's do that.
Get that guy that was the fake Yokozuna at the Saudi Arabia show because the princes wanted Yokozuna, not knowing he'd been dead for 2 decades.
I know nothing about that. I do not follow that product at all. So
I remember, one guy one time for that first. So I just remember the story. I guess the princes asked for like a bunch of guys that were already dead. So in a couple cases, they just got wrestlers who looked like those guys, sort of, and were just like, whatever. So they just got a big sumo guy, and because Yokozuna's dead, and they were just like, here's a sumo guy. Oh, it's just goodness. Very funny.
Oh my goodness. Anyway, moving on.
Yeah.
Moving on. We got Jon Moxley. Steps up to the arena and just shoves the cameraman out of the way because he doesn't have time for this interviewing bullshit.
I mean, standing in Jon Moxley's way is an occupational hazard if you're an AEW employee. It's gotta be in the scope of work somewhere. Like if anywhere you're standing, if it's like within a certain radius of Jon Moxley, you might just be getting your shit wrecked. Look at the guy. I mean, it just is what it is.
So this leads into the second match of the evening, a 4-way. I assume presumptive number one contenders match for the AEW women's title. Hikaru Shida versus Penelope Ford versus Dr. Britt Baker DMD versus Chris Statlander, who I'm very happy to see back on AEW TV.
Yes. Welcome back to our galaxy, Chris. It's nice to have you on our planet.
That's your AAW women's champion. And
absolutely.
Hoping we can.
I was there that night when she won the AAW belt. That was very fun.
I wasn't there for that one, but I was there for her defense. That was the same show that had Nick Gage against, what's his name? Well, anyway.
Kurt Stallion? Was that the Kurt Stallion match?
No, that wasn't the Kurt Stallion match. It was someone
Jake
else.
Something.
No, it wasn't Jake something. It was...
I'm just going to keep naming Midwest Indie guys.
Actually, I don't know. I don't think this guy was a Midwest Indie guy. I think he was... I think he's like a GCW guy. But anyway, point being, four-way match, not bad, even though I'm tired of these women's four-way matches. I know, I swear we've seen this match before.
Possibly, maybe a different variation. Hey, Penelope Ford got in this one. You like to see that. You're getting Penelope some work. I was excited for this one, chiefly just to see Hikaru Shida wrestling again. Great to see Shida in the ring. Really glad to have her as a number one contender. I think her and Nyla are going to make some magic.
Yeah, and Hikaru Shida does defeat Penelope Ford. After a pretty nice looking shining
Jeffrey,
wizard.
One more thing I want to mention from this match, very important. Did you know Britt Baker was a dentist?
Thank you. Every guest has to mention that. I will say, Britt has been a lot more tolerable since the heel turn.
I would take it a step further and say she has been good. I would even say her good.
The springboard cutter from Penelope to Britt, it looked like it was about a mile off.
Like, but it's not in perfect spots and everything, but the girl can cut a promo. She makes the character interesting and compelling, and she's a beatable heel, which I think is becoming a bit of a lost art, right? The beatable heels, the kind of shitty, smarmy, like, I talk a lot of shit. I may not be the best wrestler, but I'll still get wins, and I'll find ways to do that. I think that's a valuable asset.
Yeah, and of course, the ending comes courtesy of Britt Baker and Chris Statlander being on the floor with Baker, doing the lockjaw onto Statlander, even way past the match ending. It goes on and on, which prompts one of Jim Ross's all-time worst ever lines ever, when he makes a mention of all women hate each other.
Oh, great.
What the fuck?
Good job, Jim.
What the fuck, Jim Ross?
I mean, yeah, what, that's all you got is what the fuck Jim Ross. You can't explain away the Jim Rossisms. It's just kind of letting it happen, man. And he wasn't done. And he wasn't done tonight either.
Oh yeah, I'm waiting. I'm just waiting to hear what you have to say about that.
I get that.
But oh God, I really miss Chris Jericho on commentary. I
He
really
was
do.
extremely good, man. He was very good. Cody was very good. It was nice to see people filling in and doing a really nice job. Like, I like the different.
Jericho was the best one because he was actually putting people over. Even the one
Yes.
he kept saying that he hates, but he kept putting them over. So, you know,
Yeah, that's something that Jericho talks about a lot.
Another lost art of the heel.
100%, something that Jericho talks about quite frequently. So it's cool to see him kind of, doing that in practice on commentary.
Yeah. After that, we get a brief promo from Sugar Dunkerton, aka Pineapple Pete, aka Shug D, aka whatever you want to call him. So that's cool. You know,
Yeah.
it's good that he's getting this kind of rub.
Absolutely.
And it was a standard promo. It was all
Yeah,
right.
yeah.
You know. We go into match three of the evening. A sort of get back match from last week. Kenny Omega and Matt Hardy taking on Santana and Ortiz. This is one of those matches where I knew that there was no way in hell that Santana and Ortiz were going to go over, but there were a couple of times where when I almost bit on the finish in
Yeah,
favor of Santana and Ortiz.
that's the proud and powerful effect, though, right? Those guys are like incapable of having a bad match. They'll always give it 100%, and they'll always give you a match that even if you know or you think you know where the results are going to be, they're gonna put that doubt in your mind. It's so much fun to watch them wrestle, man.
Oh, I agree. No, I was really happy when they got
Genuinely one of my
signed.
favorite tag teams. Yeah, they're fantastic.
LAX, EYFBO, Proud and Powerful, whatever you want to call them, Santana and Ortiz are the business, and they showed out in this match.
Hell yeah, they did. It's great to see them in the ring. And, they always do great with big names, with legends. Like, I don't know, you were in New York. Them wrestling the Rock and Roll Express is just one of the best tag matches I've seen live in recent memory. Now they get a chance to, have Matt Hardy in the ring, one half of one of the greatest tag teams of all time. And I'm sure guys who inspired them. And they make every moment of it. It's great.
You know, and on that note, with Matt Hardy, I am so I'm already so done with the broken Matt Hardy shtick. But in ring, he, I gotta admit, wasn't bad in this match.
No, and he's carrying on maybe an extra pound or two. He's got a couple of extra lockdown pounds on him, but he's carrying it quite well.
Yeah, but again, he actually he wasn't too bad, and I didn't get too annoyed with Kenny Omega. I think Kenny Omega has finally realized how to have a TV match, and not every match has to be, when he tries to, do the 40-minute New Japan main events that actually a lot of New Japan fans couldn't stand.
Yeah,
Turns out.
he no one will ever discount Kenny's talent. It's just the presentation and the execution that can be not for everybody's taste, and I totally understand it. He has, yeah, to your point, gotten better on specifically the TV part of things, the week-to-week stuff, and he's becoming just a solid baby face, a good part of the card.
So at one point we have Sammy Guevara show up, with a neck brace, trying to attack Matt Hardy with a chair in like one of the most comical, like
Oh, yeah.
you knew this was gonna go nowhere. Just kind of tips it out of his hand, and that was it.
Sammy's great. That's another guy who's come along extremely quickly, especially someone who doesn't have the TV experience and just a natural for it.
Oh yeah, Sammy has been one of the breakouts of this company. But in the end, Matt Hardy pins Santana for the win. Yeah, not a bad match, really.
No, but you keep building that elite versus inner circle feud. You add a little more fire to it, and on we go.
Yeah, and there's more to come of that too.
And they, yeah, and they, and yeah, that's cool because then we get some more development on that later on in the night.
We get a commercial break and we come back, and Taz is with Darby Allin trying to apologize, but also still, being
Darby, listen here, bro. Darby,
the
listen.
hey, brother.
Bro, I'm so sorry, bro.
You know what? I used to mark so hard for Taz in ECW, but
You did. You know what? I think he's become a pretty skilled commentator and interviewer, all things considered. I've liked his work.
Oh yeah, he has, but Darby Allin just No, completely no sells, and is like, yeah, I know what a tilt is, you stupid fuck.
But that's the Darby character, like him kind of touching into that like young millennial, early like kind of Zoomer mentality is perfect for the character. I just have a little of that sarcasm for older generation guys, like, fuck you, dude. Like, I don't want to wrestle. Shut up, old man.
What do you think Darby Allin thinks of the remakes that are coming of Tony Hawk Pro Skater 1 and 2?
I mean, you know, I think we're all have a little bit of cautious optimism. We all want to like them. So, you know, you got to go into it with a positive attitude. You got to hope for the best, you know?
That's right. Yeah.
Just give it the original soundtrack.
I'm not going to repeat that joke we made last week because we made the joke last week. But, we can get Taz and Darby as like a little thing. It's like, yeah, me and Tony Hawk, we go back like rocking chairs, brother, you know?
Bro, we're throwing up 900 methods. I did a Christ air last week.
Oh, Taz, we love you.
Hell yeah.
Following that, we go a backstage interview with Hikaru Shida, who's very excited about facing off against Nyla Rose. And Nyla Rose was so excited she came by and beat her with a kendo stick.
As much as I love Shida, this shit rules. Give me more. This here.
Oh, Nyla Rose.
Hell yes. Oh, wreck everybody.
Oh, I have missed Nyla Rose not being on TV has been one of the worst things about this. And she's back.
She's crushing it. It's great.
Even though really we shouldn't be having these shows, but here we are talking about them, so that makes us complicit, doesn't it?
Yeah, but you know what? They're out there working. They're out there trying to entertain us. The least I can do is be entertained, I guess.
There we go. I don't know how much entertainment you were going to get after with this match. Fourth match of the evening, Maxwell Jacob Friedman against Lee Johnson in his in-ring return. And yeah, this was a basic squash.
Yeah, from what I understand, Lee Johnson lost by bitch slap. Like, he just got slapped in the face. Like,
then some sort of submission hold, like a basic. Okay. Yeah. So.
It was was this match even a minute?
It was it was 1 minute at least.
About a minute. Yeah. Yeah,
it was a squash, you know.
Yeah, but hey, you know what? Good to see MJF get a squash. He is a top heel and should be probably booked that way for a while.
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess. I kind of got over his shtick a while ago.
Okay, I think we're just getting started with it. I don't think there really is like a shtick to get over with him because I think it's all potential. I think there's a road forward for him. From what I've seen of him so far, he's only improved. And I think there's going to be, again, you know, for the mid 20s wrestler, there's just his prime so much further ahead of him. Well, I think we're 3 years away from seeing like what his real best work is. And we're just getting a taste of it.
Well, my partner thinks that he just says his scarf is his gimmick. That's it.
I mean, I think it's an important part of the aesthetic, and to have an iconic piece of apparel as a wrestler is really a good thing. Like, it's something recognizable. It's marketable because you can still just do the fake Burberry pattern, you know?
Well, you know, I actually was taking my daily stroll today and walking around my neighborhood, and I saw a guy about MJF's height, similar haircut, wearing that damn scarf, and I did a double take. What the hell?
what's worse than Long Island MJF? Chicago MJF.
Yeah, well, Hoffman Estates MJF. let's be specific here.
Oh, no. Could you imagine? Yeah, I'm better than you, and I know it.
Well, that's where I'm at, so... It's okay. You know what? AEW was, I guess, born in Hoffman Estates, so, you know, you could say. Anyway, so after that, he challenges Marco Stunt to a tune-up match against Jungle Boy for Double or Nothing. All I gotta say is, if this leads to Luchasaurus versus Wardlow, then all this would have been worth it.
I think so, too. And, you know, again, MJF's got to have stuff to do. So him, you know, beating up on guys that are smaller than him is like a good thing for a heel to do. Then he can gloat and we can all go, yeah, that's not even legit. Screw you. And there you go. On with the heel storylines. Just got to keep him away from Cody, but keep enough heat on him long enough to bring him back together whenever you want. It's just one of those things you already have built in.
And then our fifth match of the evening, an actual grudge match. Chris Jericho, Le Champion, against Sugar Dunkerton or Pineapple Pete or whatever you want to
call
it.
That classic rivalry, a grudge match for the ages, one of the oldest rivalries in all of professional wrestling, and one we've been waiting to get paid off for just so long.
I gotta say, though, Shug D started off pretty fucking hot.
Absolutely. This is where my favorite Excalibur line of the night was, when they said, someone mentioned, yeah, that Shug D, a.k.a. Pineapple Pete, a.k.a. Sugar Dunkerton. And Excalibur says, a pineapple by any name. It's still sweet.
I'm so mad that because I was live at Revolution, I missed one of Excalibur's best ever lines.
When he said
that Orange Cassidy was like a humble fire ant.
Oh God, that's good. That's very good. A humble fire ant, spectacular. That's why they pay him the big bucks, folks.
But of course, you know, a single Judas effect, mere seconds later, and Shug D is out for the count.
Which I do not blame Shug D for at all. The Judas effect, the most devastating move in all of professional wrestling. Who's getting up from that?
So, anyway, with that, we get the entire Inner Circle in for a promo, and Jericho waxes about the Elite and whether or not the Elite actually exists at this point, and then proposes a Stadium Stampede match. So I'm guessing this is another empty arena match just within the Jacksonville Jaguar Stadium.
That's what it sounds like. They're just going to do the all around the arena, and the battle of the cinematic matches has begun. The cinematic match wars of 2020 are officially on.
The thing is that I get the feeling this is the make good on Blood and Guts, because at this point there's no way in hell that Blood and Guts is going to be happening anytime soon.
That's the exact same feeling I got, 100%.
Yeah, they could reconfigure Daly's Place to do a War Games match, but they're not going to.
No, and you know what? The visuals of that and the idea of, like, the extra violence and stuff is just not, just optically not great right now. I don't really think it's in anyone's best interest. Yeah. So scrap it, do the Stadium Stampede. Let's make it a little goofier, a little more fun, and let's all have a good time with a silly wrestling match. Why not?
And also, once again, credit to AEW for one thing, which is actually acknowledging that there is a COVID pandemic going on, unlike the other company currently operating in Florida.
You mean that WrestleMania wasn't just so big they couldn't fit it all in one night?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, by the way, I wonder where they got that idea from. So, Vanguard 1 shows up to...
Yeah, he does.
And, gets the shit beat out of him because I think we're tired of the whole Broken Man Hardy shtick.
Our boy Vanguard got office-spaced, and I hated to see it. I've always liked Vanguard. He seems like a nice enough guy. He's loyal to his friends, and I respect that. And he was viciously, maliciously assaulted by just a gang of hooligans, ruffians.
You know,
it was a good segment. I gotta say, Jericho doing this Vanguard 1 is a sentient human type segments have been very fun for me. Oh, I love them. He sells it really well. It's a blast. It's just it's the stupidest parts of wrestling that I really enjoy.
Jericho is the only reason why the whole Matt Hardy thing is working at this point. I'm convinced, because Jericho's actually going along with it, playing it completely straight.
That's the part of how the Matt Hardy thing works, right? It's dependent on who his dancing partners are, who he's working with, and how you kind of, like, it is a very specific character and not the easiest thing to execute, but only people like Chris Jericho and Matt Hardy can be doing what they're doing right now.
Yeah. So with that, we get our main event of the evening that didn't really need to be a multiple segment match, honestly, but here we are.
Gotta get that back. Gotta get a couple extra commercial breaks in there, you know?
And the Fallen Angel, Christopher Daniels, takes on the Exalted One, Brody Lee.
Exalted Boss, Mr. Brody Lee.
Yes. Here's another classic Jim Ross line.
Oh, yeah. Here we go.
Okay. Position is 9/10 of the law. Who said that? Referring to, Brody Lee stealing the AEW title off of John Moxley and being you know, the self-proclaimed AEW champion. Oh, who thought of that? Possession of 9/10 of the law. I'm going to say some colonial white guy, Jim. That's who I'm going to say.
My God. Well, that was not even the one I was thinking of. My favorite was when the match started, and I think this maybe even was the Proud and Powerful match. Maybe that's why I missed it. But when Santana and Ortiz immediately attacked somebody before the bell, and Jim Ross yelled out, "What is wrong with these people?"
Oh, Jesus, I missed that one. Oh, my
God. Yeah, that one was fun.
God.
And, you know, that's not what he meant, but it just doesn't sound good.
You know, it wouldn't be, you know what, with Jim Ross, you can't tell.
Well, true.
let me recount all the great Muta matches with Jim Ross on commentary that I've watched.
You know, I've been watching, speaking of yikes moments with great Muta, I've been watching a lot of Nitro from 1997 lately, like the summertime. During Great Muta's NWO appearances, where he has, you know, the NWO face paint, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, it's just an NWO logo, but upon first glance, it's just enough to make you look twice.
Yeah, I agree.
For those that don't know, it's the white, it's the NWO lettering in white, and then all around it, meaning his entire face, is all pitch black.
Right. Well, but also he's also got, he still actually still has the you know, his you know, the kanji symbols on the side too, though.
Yeah, but like, it's just those. when you see it, especially like in standard definition, like it's just all you see is like just his face, and it's just, and you first look at it, you're like, wait, is he okay, whoa.
Well, I was wearing I actually have a you know, a bootleg NWO Muta shirt that I bought from Violent Miracle, and I was wearing it the day after my brother's wedding, because we had to go back to the site to clean it up. I was wearing it, and my father's wife was just like, "Oh my God, is that blood? Oh, it's fuck off." You know, Jesus. And what if it was blood? Who cares?
Yeah, it's like wearing one of those Nick Gage shirts where he's just, you know, covered in blood.
By the way, I'm over 40. I can wear a shirt with blood on it if I want to, you know?
Right. Grown-ass man stuff.
Yeah. For the love of Christ.
Sorry, did you not know that dudes rock? Did you not get that memo, or?
You know. So, anyway, what'd you think of this main event?
I like watching Brody Lee wrestle. I think the character is good. Christopher Daniels, it's still just amazing to watch the guy wrestle. Like, you go, oh shit, this is a 50-year-old man who can just fucking go. Just go.
Even though he is, it's still kind of at half speed from what it used to be, but yeah.
I mean, half speed is better than a lot of people's full speed.
Yeah, I mean, it was a decent match, I'll give it that.
It served a purpose. It wasn't supposed to be overly long because he needed to give time for, you know, what happened afterwards. So, you know, they got it in. They, you know, get Brody the win. Welcome Daniels back. Give SCU a little shine, having all three of them back on the scene on screen together. And, you know, get to the title segment. Get to the finish.
Yep, and we got that. Brody Lee defeats Christopher Daniels, and here comes Jon Moxley.
So what do you think of the self-proclaimed champion thing?
I mean, it fits with the character.
Yeah, true. I don't know, the self-proclaimed champion thing feels a little played to me. I just feel like, you know, he's got a title match in like 2 weeks. He's got to start proclaiming himself champion like right now.
It's a wrestling trope. I think the whole stealing the belt thing at this point is really played out. Unless you're, you know, Toriano, because then it's funny.
Yeah, I think the last good belt theft was Ricky Shane Page taking Nick Gage's belt. That's the last one that I think was like truly great.
Well, yeah, because didn't Ricky Shane Page end up with it in the end anyway?
Yeah, he ended up with it too, and that storyline is still ongoing. Obviously suspended, as every other wrestling storyline, but they were doing just the last wrestling show I attended, not a Chicago one, was middle of February. I went out to Atlantic City for GCW, and they had an absolute banger of a match out there.
Well, so. Mox shows up, takes out a couple of the masked guys, Brody Lee and Dark Order number 10. Who do you think is under that hood?
That's that guy Preston Vance is number 10. He's
Right. Yeah. Duh, I forgot about
he's like a football player, or yeah, was he a football player? that's the, I don't know if that's the storyline or that's really who he is. I haven't really read much into him. But, you know, he's a big athlete, dude. So we'll see.
Yeah, so Mox cuts a promo to see us out. And with that, we are done with episode 32 of AEW.
Hard to beat a good Mox promo. Fun to get a couple minutes out of him all the time to finish off the show. He's always spitting hot fire, man.
Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah, I mean, actually, and I'm actually pretty excited, even though we're only getting 2 weeks of build, but I'm actually pretty excited about Mox versus Brody Lee. I know Lawrence on this program, he's a big fan of this matchup, too, so.
You know, I've always been a fan of a good Dean Ambrose Luke Harper match on Superstars, so I'm sure that's going to translate right over to the main event on pay per view.
I'm going to do that.
I can't. Fuck Luke Harper. Fuck Dean Ambrose. These guys are doing what they're supposed to be doing now, and it's awesome to see. They're really getting the chance to show like who they should have been the whole time, and we're all the fans are the ones that really win. As cheesy as that sounds, we're going to get an awesome match.
So, Paul, your pros and cons of this show.
Oh, pros and cons. Pros, Pineapple Pete, Excalibur, Hikaru Shida, Vanguard 1, RIP. Pour one out for your real homie. cons, Jim Ross's commentary. The fact that it's still an empty arena and people are getting COVID and stuff, which kind of sucks. It's not great. I would have liked a longer MJF match. 1 minute squashes are fine, but give me like a 3 minute squash. You know, get your shit in. Give me a couple moves. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe
like
next
that.
Week. Maybe next week.
Yeah. Other than that, a wholly fine Dynamite. It's good. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm gonna agree with a lot of that. I really like the opening match, Best Friends versus Jurassic Express until the double fuck finish. But hey, Rey Fénix is back, so that's cool.
He's doing this heavy. He's doing for Death Triangle while Penta and Pac aren't there has been remarkable. He's doing a great job.
Yes, I definitely miss El Triangulo de la Muerte. So
I can't wait to get back there. That was one of the things I was most excited for in wrestling is when they got together.
Oh yeah, I mean yeah, totally. How do you not? I mean, what else? So, the women's four way was pretty okay. You know the botched springboard cutter notwithstanding. You know, I thought it was perfectly fine. I also like this build to Nyla and Hikaru Shida. I really like this.
Yes.
This is cool. The Omega Hardy versus Santana Ortiz, that was fine. Actually, you know what? None of the matches, even the MJF's match, who I really can't stand. MJF's, all the matches were just perfectly fine TV matches.
Yeah, there wasn't really anything like outstandingly bad or anything like that.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, even Shug Dunkerton, he looked good, even though he got walloped with a Judas effect, and only a Judas effect, but you know what, that's cool, you know?
Yeah, and, I couldn't kick out of a Judas effect, brother.
And, the biggest con I had was, Jim Ross is bringing this show down.
A little bit, and you know, he's been up and down, I think he's had some moments where he's done quite well and deserves some credit in spots here and there. I thought when he called that match solo a couple of weeks ago, I thought he did great.
I thought that match was horrible, and I thought he contributed.
It wasn't perfect, but I thought he did pretty decent, all things considered. Calling a match solo is really hard, especially like a taped one, just, you know, getting in the booth and having to voice over it as if it's live. It's difficult work, and a lot of people not named Jim Ross would probably be even worse.
Now, see, that's the thing, though, is that I thought he was okay doing that when he was doing NJPW on Access, because anytime he flubbed anything... excuse me, sorry. Anytime he flubbed anything, he could rewind the tape and tape it over. It was a live stuff that he was fumbling on, and
that's where his deficiencies show a little more. And like where, you know, sometimes if he doesn't get that self edit or think before he speak, or one of the other commentators that kind of keep him in check, he can kind of run wild and lose the thread. Excalibur has done a good job, and I think Shivani has done a really good job.
I really think they just need to ditch JR and promote Taz up to the booth with Excalibur and Tony, and then, you know, let Jericho keep commentating, maybe have Tony and Jericho on Dark or something, because Jericho's commentating I thought was fantastic, and I'm really missing it.
Absolutely. As a I've always been a proponent of the two-person commentary booth with the third chair being reserved to put active wrestlers in, just in spots. Right. I think it's something that you could not only show off your talent more to your TV audience, but also give that microphone experience to people. I think there's just a lot of good things you can do with it. And I think that, like, you know, multiple promotions, you know, WWE proved that when they throw guys like Kevin Owens in. AEW does it when they have people like Chris Jericho, or even, like, I thought MJF did a great job when he did commentary in a couple of spots. And they have a lot of people who are very talented on the mic that can do this.
Yeah, I mean, can we just get it? Maybe we just actually need, like, an actual... Get rid of Jim Ross. Maybe get an actual heel commentator in there.
I love a heel commentator. Yeah, for sure. That's one thing they're kind of missing is, you know, they want to do that sports presentation so they don't have like an out and out heel, but it's wrestling.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's wrestling, and you already have a guy in a you have a guy under a hood doing commentary. I mean,
yes, you have a literal masked man doing your commentary. So, absolutely.
There we go. So, all right, Paul Sebastian, plug yourself.
Plugging myself. Ooh, I couldn't. That's my favorite part. Now, you can find me on Twitter at ThickFlareTTV or at Twitch at twitch.tv/ThickFlare. That's all C's and no K's. I also host a podcast called Burn After Noticing. It's a Burn Notice Watch Through podcast hosted by myself and my co-host, Josh, a.k.a. Shake and Bakey on the internet. We've never seen Burn Notice. We're watching it for the first time in order. We bring guests every week. It's super fun. We're getting towards the end of season two right now, and we just had... the host of the excellent Blocked Party podcast, comedian John Cullen on. It was a really fun episode. So check that out on iTunes or Spotify or wherever else you get a podcast.
You can find me at Strong Style Story without the E in style on Twitter. My personal Twitter is at GD Wessel. It's two S's, one L. Hopefully we're going to do another Strong Style History retrospective, the fifth one. The fourth one we just dropped last Sunday. The fifth one, hopefully, well, be up this coming Sunday if we get around to doing it this weekend. There's a distinct chance that there might be a Busting Balls podcast coming for the first time in months because allegedly the Bundesliga is kicking off again this weekend.
Yeah, hold.
Maybe. Although I've heard reports that Germany may be going back to their full lockdown too. Because
I don't really know how you're going to make plans for major sports at this point.
Yeah, I don't know. There's a possibility. Well, I mean, the K-League in Korea, in South Korea, they take back off last weekend.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know some of the Asian, but Korea has had a little bit of a COVID spike as well, so they might be back inside real soon.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's kind of dicey. The only league that's been regularly running matches still, the Premier League in Belarus.
All right, Belarusian Premier League.
Yes.
Good for you.
More
power to you. I know people are getting really into the KBO baseball because they're the only baseball promotion running. So everyone's
I've noticed that's become the hot thing on the internet is Korean baseball. But
I mean, people just need to sports gamble. We Americans really just can't stop sports gambling.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. I mean, if there's Bundesliga matches, John Arnold and I may be doing another Busting Balls. So be on the lookout for that. SoundCloud.com/busting-balls. So anyway, Paul, thank you so much for stepping in pretty much the last second, but I really appreciate it.
Absolutely a pleasure. Anytime. That was awesome.
Yeah. Feel free to come back sometime.
Fantastic. I'd love to.
Any final words?
Watch wrestling.
Okay. You know what? On the Pro Wrestling Only board, we'll take that one. And please also listen to the other fine podcasts here on the Pro Wrestling Only podcast network. So until then, we'll either see you on Sunday or we'll see you next week for episode 33 of Boom Goes the Dynamite. So take care.
Bye.